I get to talk about the unveiling of Christ in us today. The unveiling of Christ in us. You have your Bibles. We're going to first start in Romans 8, verse 18. I'm in the Passion Translation for the most of the day, except maybe for one scripture. He says, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. I think about that, how the unveiling of Christ in us, you know, I think that's something that we gradually understand about that when, you know, the first day we're born again, we get excited and we dance around and we enjoy everything that, you know, that's new. But then we start realizing, you know, that we still have life to live and circumstances to deal with. Amen. But it says, I like this scripture, and that's one of the reasons. I like the word unveiled here, to be unveiled within us. And I like the next verse that says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe. I couldn't barely get on my tiptoes. Yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughter. The universe is waiting to see us get it right or get the revelation of who we are in Christ. So that they can, I mean, because the universe is waiting to see God. He's veiled now because most of the church still is veiled. And most of the Christians don't even know who they are. But once we start realizing who we are and who Christ is in within us, then we can help them see that. And the next verse says, for against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, the eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's sons. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were the contradictions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced being born again, the first fruits of the Spirit, also inwardly we groan. We passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. Another translation uses that word transformed as literally transfigured, that our figuration of who we are changes when Christ comes in. And for this is the hope of salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why wouldn't we need to hope for something we already have? And so because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. Isn't that great? We can go all the way on. I mean, this whole chapter is like outstanding when it talks about the unveiling. But the interesting thing about the word, the Greek word here, the word that I just used up in verse 18, the unveiling word, is the same word for the full title of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation means the unveiling of Jesus. It's not the unveiling of the end times. It's not the unveiling of the last days. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. See, the created universe is but the backdrop for the dramatic appearing of God's sons and daughters unveiled with the glory of Jesus Christ, not only in them, but upon them, manifesting out of us. The world wants to see it. They're standing on tiptoe. The universe is standing on tiptoe, waiting for us to understand who we are. The revealing. See, the verb tense in the Greek text here is clear that this unveiling is imminent, soon to happen, and destined to take place. And Christ's glory will come to us, enter us, fill us, envelop us, and then be revealed through us as partakers of that glory. Do you realize that we're the carriers of the glory of God? It's in us, the hope of glory, Christ in us. We carry that glory. But so many of us just keep it veiled. We don't unveil it. It's veiled. And although God will not share his glory with any other, we are no longer another. For we are one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go to John 17, 21. It says, I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them. Who is he praying for? Us. He's praying for us to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. And the world would be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Powerful. And why is it so hard to believe in a God who's both closer than breath? Closer than your breath. God is closer than your breath. I've been listening for years, for the past 3 or 4 years, I've been listening to a song by, his name is Stephen Swanson. I don't know if you've ever heard of Stephen Swanson, but I've been listening to a song he did. He's kind of a rocker, kind of a worship guy, but he's all over the world, and he wrote a song, Closer Than My Skin, about God, how close he is to us and how much he's within us. But closer than breath is better than our best theology, because the oldest lie isn't just about morality but about character. The serpent's first weapon in Eden was to cast suspicion on God. Has God really said? Did he withhold something? Is he trustworthy? Can he be known? And here's the real problem for thousands of years. If your God is veiled, the opposite of unveiled, then your true self will be veiled. Because the true self is Christ in you. And he's just wanting to come out of you, so that the world would see him. The world is waiting on tiptoes to find out who are the sons of God. That's us. If you imagine a God who withholds, who must be appeased or placated, then you will always come to him as less than, as a debtor, and never as a son or daughter. We can clearly see the veiled effect clearly when comparing two ministries from two mountains from years ago. Moses at the Mount of Sinai, and Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses receives the law and his face shines, but it's a borrowed glory, one that scares the people away. The glory of the ministry of condemnation is dazzling, but deathly. It exposes sin, but it can't transform it. People avoid you if you radiate condemnation. But with Jesus, something else happens at the Mount of Transfiguration. That's found in Matthew 17. It says, the glory is not borrowed, but is original. Jesus' face and even his clothes beam with light. Did you ever read about that story about the Transfiguration? Cities are drawn to him. Crowds come hungry for what he carries because there's no veil, no need to shrink back, because the unveiled Christ shines with acceptance, not accusation. Amen? And this is why the New Covenant gospel draws seekers rather than terrifies sinners. Jesus wasn't the proof of God's rage. He was the unveiling of God's relentless love and open embrace. Jesus is the express image, the unveiled face, the end of every shadow, because Christ is our substance. And that's who's living within us. But if your God is veiled, he will appear as withholding and angry, and you will project your projected veiled living because of what you behold God is like. You'll become like that veil. And you'll start representing God as angry, withholding, and performance-minded. You'll be anxious, hiding, perfectionistic, and judgmental, and very unforgiving of others. But if your God is fully revealed in Christ, you will see God as tender, present at all times, and loving. And in that picture, you will become unashamed, bold, and free. And here's the reality. Your life will always echo the view you have of God. Your life will always echo. I mean, you know what an echo is. So those who know that in Christ, they are saved and delivered, will look full in the face of Jesus and finally stop hiding, striving, or apologizing for being loved. To be delivered from the doctrine is to let go of every inherited assumption about who he is and to let Jesus, the only perfect picture, saturate your image of the Father. In your understanding of the unveiling, you will see God's work in your life as more about revealing you than changing you. More about revealing you than changing you. Because if he's really revealing himself through you, you're going to change. You're not going to be acting the same. See, true biblical transformation was never about making you presentable. It's only about calling out the glory you have been carrying all along. You have it. You don't even know what you have, pretty much, when you get saved. You just start finding it out. And so 2 Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the New King James first. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. What's the mirror? This is the mirror right here that I'm holding it up. The Bible is the mirror. When you read the Bible, you're reading the mirror. Amen. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now in the TPT, the Passion Translation, this is what it says. We can all draw close to him, to Christ, with the veil removed, unveiled from our faces, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, transformation doesn't take place by grit or effort, or better behavior. Transformation happens by beholding, seeing the unveiled Christ. In his unveiling, you become known and know yourself anew. I don't know about you, I mean, that's for me is a wow. A wow. To me, it's good news. Unveiled lives in the tension of two truths. The gospel of relentless, unconditional love, or the gospel of gap, guilt, striving, and spiritual exhaustion. See, when you really meet the unveiled Christ, you realize that he didn't come to fix you. No, he came to reveal the real you in Christ. In Christ, we meet a Father who was never hiding, and a Son who mirrored his beauty in every embrace, every word, every scandalous act of union. And you will see the glorious thread that runs from Eden till today Our story didn't start with Adam's failure, nor does it end with your striving. Our beginning was always in Christ. And our destiny is to be a living reflection that is unveiled, unashamed, and unstoppable. I love that song, Unstoppable Love. That's a great song. And the only requirement to you seeing these things is to be open to the possibilities that God is better and has made you more than you have ever imagined. I don't know about you. I still think I have a lot of things to discover about me, you know, in Christ and all the things he is in me. See, in your understanding of your unveiling, the hardest work you'll ever do is to permanently cease from working for your identity. Always remember that Jesus is the truth, and grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. John 1:14. Jesus is the truth embodied. John 14:6, 8:32, and 16:13. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go there in the Passion, since we're in 3:18. Let's go a couple of scriptures more here. 2 Corinthians 5, 19, 20, and 21. If I could see these little scriptures here. There's a 19. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding. Listen to this. In other words, it was through the Anointed One, who is Jesus, that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. Verse 20, we are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we would tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him, for God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that he who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. Amen? Now that's a gift, the gift of righteousness. And another purpose of the cross that is hardly ever talked about is us seeing who we really are as Jesus is birthing us into the world. The world is waiting for us. They're standing on tiptoes waiting for us to realize who we are so that they can see who Jesus is. And God made you a new species, not just a better version of the old. It's not moral improvement, it's a DNA upgrade. In 1 John 3:2, it says, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And in 1 John 4:17, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. John, in the book of Revelation, the unveiling, saw Jesus with hair like wool, eyes like fire, a voice like many waters, and then stunningly saw the church unveiled in the same glory. Transformation in the biblical gospel happens at the speed of revelation, not at the pace of self-examination. Don't keep doing that stuff. And as we see him, we see ourselves. We don't need more profound knowledge. We need more sight to see what he sees, to what he's beholding, and be like him. The courage to let the mirror of his word show you Jesus unveiled, and therefore finally to see yourself. You and I need to be revealed as Christ is living in us. That's what the world's waiting for. And then Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Now I'm reading out of the Passion again. It says, my old identity, old Mike, old man Mike, My old identity, you can use your name there as well, has been crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. When Jesus died on the cross, you died. When Jesus was buried, you were buried. When Jesus rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. When Jesus ascended to the Father, you ascended to the Father and sit at the right hand of the Father with him. It says that in Ephesians, if you don't believe me. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. Could you imagine all of Jesus in you? But he says, and all of the scriptures, he's always saying that to us. That's why I can't understand why anybody wouldn't want to be born again. I'd say, get it and enjoy the adventure because it's fun. Amen? And then verse 21 says, so that is why I don't view God's grace as something minor or peripheral. For if keeping the law could release God's righteousness to us, then the Anointed One would have died for nothing. Amen? So let's be uncompromising. And that means any label, any thought, any story you wear that cannot be said of Christ, it cannot be said of you. If it's not said of Christ, it's not about you. If it can be said of Christ, then it must be said of us as well. Well, they said that Jesus is truth. And if he's living in me, then I am truth. You won't get anything false out of me. You won't get anything accusatory out of me. You won't get anything of strife out of me or unforgiveness out of me. You won't get any offense out of me. See, the gospel you actually believe in is the one you actually inhabit and reflect out. And we are the measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, these grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one in a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. We are not a distant goal, but as your actual internal reality waiting to be unveiled, waiting to be seen, waiting to be revealed. See, God's not trying to mold you into something else. He's inviting you to see what's already inside of you, what you already have in Christ. You're born again, born from above. You're a miracle waiting to happen. And we who are, by the grace of God, you cannot add to it. You cannot take it away. You just have to step into it. John says, when you see him as he is, we will know who we are. And Paul agrees when he says, we all with unveiled face in 2 Corinthians 3:18, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. Christ is not just the window we look through to see the Father. He is the mirror you look in to see yourself. When you meet Jesus, you meet you. And when we behold the divine, you awaken to divine within. Every shamefaced label, every failed associations, God's first question always remains, who told you you were naked? If it's true about Christ, it has no place on you. Every old thing has passed away. Everything is new. I'm surprised you chose that song today, Everything. I said, I was writing this thing. I wrote this long before you chose the songs. Every attempt to measure progress is a trip back to the law. The moment you say, I'm getting better at this Christianity thing, you slip right back into the cycle of comparison, striving, and inadequacy. But the moment you stand on the foundation of, I have already been crucified with Christ and raised as new, you become immune to both pride and shame. That is why the language of the Apostle Paul in Galatians resounds, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. You cannot boast in what you do or don't do anymore. The only boast is Christ, His cross and us, His new creation. Christ for us is the only place that the veils fall off. So pause, Selah. Take a break. And ask yourself, what do I believe I am? Because God has left that up to us to decide. If you believe you must behave, achieve, or feel your way into favor, you will remain stuck in the cycle of self-justification. The greatest offense to the gospel isn't immorality. No, it's trying to justify yourself by something that is already obsolete. The law. That's what your Bible says in Hebrews. No flesh will ever be justified by the law-keeping. Only Christ's finished work counts. All things are now of God. And our ministry is not condemnation, but reconciliation. Open the door for others to find what you found. That's the definition of reconciliation. See, God was in Christ, reconciling the word to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Don't fall for lazy grace or universalism. Everybody's saved. I don't have to do nothing. I just sit back here and drink coffee the rest of my life. Every message of the gospel must be met with faith. We must mix what you hear with what you believe, or it will not manifest. Jesus became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. It's always been about identity. Not guilt. It is the testimony of the cross. Transformation is not your accomplishment, it is his. Everything required for our perfection, he became responsible for in himself. You do not fight from defeat or beg for another chance. Your battle is to reckon yourself alive and to manifest what already exists in Christ in you. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. One final scripture in the Passion, Colossians 1:27. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. Did you know there's no secrets in the body of Christ? None. I remember years ago when I would take
counseling for counseling. We're helping others. And, you know, they always say, what some things that you hear, you got to keep confidential. He says, there's no secret. I can't find that in the scriptures. God wants everyone to know. How do we deal with lies? We reveal. How do we deal with darkness? We get the light. There's no secrets in the body. There's no secrets in the kingdom. Doesn't James say in chapter 5, confess your faults one to another so that you would be healed? It says that. I'm just waiting for the church to believe it. Because much of the church doesn't believe those things. And much of a big church has private confessionals with a priest. So that nobody knows but them and the priest. When the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, opposite of what's being practiced. And see, that's our self-preservation. We'd like to keep everything quiet when we make mistakes. I want everything to be opened. Because the best way to get healed is for everything to come to the light. Expose the darkness. Lift up the shades. I get afraid of people who, when I drive by their house, all their shades are down. Every time I go by their house, the shades are down. Even in the midst of the days when the sun's out, the shades are down. What the heck are they hiding? A dirty house? Now, don't get it. No, I didn't say a dirty mind. I just said a dirty house. You know, what are they hiding? When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, what was happening? Light. So much that he became translucent. That's what the gospel is about. It's the gospel of life and light. I don't know about you. When I get up in the morning, I can't wait for daylight. I like when it's dark too, because my birds leave me alone. But this morning, my bird feeders were empty. And my birds came to the window and knocked on the window with their beak before I even opened the shades. They were telling me they're empty. And then my wife's, you know, doing something in the kitchen, and she says, honey, it's snowing out. I said, my birds need food. They need the light. Because to them, food is light. That's how they stay warm in the winter. A bird has to eat 3/4 the size of their weight to stay warm in the winter. That's the truth of the bird kingdom. Thank God we're in God's kingdom. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Yeah.
We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. For Almighty God, we lift you higher. Jack's dancing. The only King forever. Forevermore. Yeah. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious.
Jack's dancing again. That's glory.